We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Christ our Lord. So forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Let's worship Him, Jesus Christ our on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Christ. Let's worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name and worship. We have come into His house. Yes, Lord. Let's just worship Him. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, let's just worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Is that your desire? Amen. God bless you. I want to just remember these requests that we had this morning. I want to continue to remember the unspoken prayer requests for Brother Arnie and Sister Alice, and also for Brother Furman's aunt that they've turned over to hospice, and Brother Barry Weber's nephew that was ran over and is starting to improve. I want to continue to remember him in prayer for continued recovery. Also for the minister brothers, they'll be traveling to Switzerland on Tuesday for the Easter meetings there. I want to continue to remember them in prayer. And Sister Vera, the prayer request that she brought in of her co-worker that's been diagnosed with cancer, and the friend who had a nephew who was in a car accident and suffered trauma. I want to remember those situations in prayer. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know many of these are needy requests. Let's just stand together tonight. Brother Layton, why don't you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Let us bow our heads. Father, just sitting there thinking as the pastor was reading these requests, and what a needy people we are. But Lord, we know where we can go for the answer to all of our requests. Father, we can approach that throne of mercy and ask for grace. How wonderful it is to have a living God, one who not only hears but also answers prayers, one who is mindful of everything that happens to his children. For you even spoke of how that the sparrow, when it falls to the earth, you're mindful of it. Lord Jesus, if you're mindful of a little bird that has no soul, then how much more mindful are you of your children? Father, you heard each one of these, the ones with cancer and the ones, Brother Morris, going under the knife here in a few days for an operation, and different ones, oh God. But we know that thou art our healer. You are the answer to our prayer and all of our needs. You've seen every hand that went up, Lord Jesus, and we ask that you would come and in thine own perfect way answer each and every need. Lord, no doubt there's from spiritual needs to health needs to needs in the family for loved ones and friends and so forth. But Father, your arm isn't shortened. Your ear isn't deafened that you can't hear and that you won't reach down your hand. Lord Jesus, we ask you to come on the scene for each one of these requests tonight and answer them. And then, Lord Jesus, come and be in the service tonight. Walk up and down the aisles and between the pews and bless your children. Bless them spiritually, Lord Jesus. Lift them up to face another battle for the next few days until we will come together again. But Lord, just keep each and every one of us in thy perfect will. Keep our minds upon you throughout the days and the evenings and all the things that come and go in this evil world, being bombarded with all kinds of things by sight and sound. And Lord, you can't even go into a restaurant, you hear this crazy worldly music, and you just have to do everything you can to tune it out and fellowship one with the other. And Lord, going down the road, the car pull up next to you, and the way the people dress, and not just the women, but Lord, even the men are dressing so ungodly anymore. It's just a terrible thing, but we know all of this was to come. So Father, let us keep our mind upon you and our eyes upon you and our heart upon you, and just keep looking to the cross and keep looking to you for the answer, for you are the only way to get out of here. Now, Lord, make us each and every one ready. May we dig down daily and press forward towards that high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. And Lord, to be ready to give answer at any time, and be ready, because if you're not coming in the next few minutes, one of us may go home. But Lord Jesus, we never know which way it's going to be, but we're looking and we want to be ready no matter which way. Be with us now throughout the rest of this service. Bless your word in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask all of this for your glory. Amen.
Brother Nathan told this story the other night. If you weren't here, he's going to have to come up and tell it, because I'll leave out the 2/3 of it and probably the most important part. But every time I hear a story about a song, it means a little more to me. And he told the story about the guy who penned this song, or I think somebody, like I said, he'll have to tell the story, but if you hear it, it'll mean a little more to you. But it's have I have decided to follow Jesus. I'll get Brother Nathan to tell that when he gets up here. It's a blessing for me to hear about that.
Well, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. Well, I won't turn back. The cross before me, the world. Just give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, it satisfies. Oh, take this whole world, just give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Though none go with, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Well, I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't.
Greet your neighbor and tell him God bless you.
Just give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. The cross before me. Amen. The cross. I won't turn back. Well, I won't turn back. this whole world, but give me Jesus. Whole world, just give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Hosanna.
Sister had asked Brother Furman if he'd sing this, and he wasn't sure how to sing it, so he asked me to sing it, and I haven't sang it in about a year, so you just pray for us tonight and help me sing it.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought, and he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought, and he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Yes, Lord, my name. You know
time together. He knows.
He knows my name. Oh, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Lord, I could search through all eternity long and find there is none like you. Oh, there is none. There's no one like you, Lord. No one else touch my heart like you do. Oh, and I could search through all eternity long and find there is none like you. Yes, Lord, there is none. Oh, there's no one like you, Lord. And no one else touch my heart like you do. I could search all eternity long and find there is none. Oh, let's just worship him together tonight. Lord, there is none like you. No one else. Eternity long and find there is none like you. One more time together. Oh Lord, there is none. Oh, there's no one like you, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Amen. You believe that tonight? Amen. Amen. You can go wherever you want. You can go on Google. You can go and ask some great politician. You can look anywhere you want. You're not going to find anyone greater than him. Amen. St. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. St. Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 7. We've been going through the Beatitudes on Sunday evenings for a while, and we had kind of had some other things come up for a few Sunday nights here and just didn't feel led to continue down that path, but going to pick back up on that tonight with the help of the Lord. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 7, Jesus speaking, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, we looked at this several times. The meaning of this word, beatitude, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means supreme blessedness or exalted happiness. So we want to look along the lines of this thought again tonight on supremely blessed. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come, Lord, into your presence again this evening, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a building that we can meet together and worship you in. But Lord, if it was just the building, then it wouldn't be of any worth, Father, for us just to come and meet in a building, Lord, or if we were to meet outdoors underneath a tree or wherever we would go, Lord, if you weren't there, then our meeting would be in vain. But Father, when we come together and your presence is made known to us, and Lord, we feel you, Lord, moving amongst the people in the worship and in the preaching of the word. And Lord, in just the singing of the psalms, Lord, and just to hear you come and feel your presence, Lord. What a blessing that it is. Lord, to where you Lord, many times even express yourself tangibly to us where we can see your presence, feel your presence. Lord, how we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, thank you for, Lord, how that you've called us apart, Lord. Maybe there were some that were more worthy than we were to look at their natural works and to see their accomplishments. But Lord, you called us maybe out of a family or out of a neighborhood, out of a city. Lord, you looked down through the millions and millions of people and you called us and chose us and predestinated us, Lord, to hear this word in this age. What a blessed people that we are. May it not be something that we take for granted, Lord, but, oh, Father, may we just always be thankful and, Lord, always have an arm out to help somebody else when we realize where you brought us from, Father. Lord, as we look into your word again tonight, I just ask you to help and to encourage, Lord, to do whatever you would want in this service. May you have complete control. May you have total preeminence, we pray. Lord, take control of my mouth, Lord. Help me, Lord, if there would be something that would need to be said, Lord, maybe it's something I could never even think of, but Lord, may you just guide me down that path. And Lord, if there's anything that I would begin to say that would be unpleasing to you, may you just stop my mouth, Father. Just help us tonight, Lord. We come for no other purpose but to worship you and to learn a little bit more about you and to draw closer to you. Help us, Father, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. Jesus speaking here in St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, and he's gone through many different of the Beatitudes that we've looked at. And he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now, he's almost quoting David in the Psalms, in Psalm 18, verse 25, and then almost the identical thing in 2 Samuel, verse 22, verse 26. I'm going to read it to you out of 2 Samuel tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 26. He's God speaking here. He says, "With the merciful," or David speaking about God rather, "with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright." David, many times, he picks up in the Psalms and he begins to speak of the mercy of God. He says in Psalm 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." He says again in Psalm 116, verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." He says in Psalm 117, verse 2, "For his merciful kindness is great towards us." There's a phrase that's used 41 times in the Old Testament alone, most of it in the Psalms, but different times throughout the Old Testament, this phrase that his mercy endureth forever. And he's in Psalms 118, verse 1, David picks it up and he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." And we look and we see all the different times over and over and over through the Bible it speaks of his mercy. But then when Jesus gets here and he's in a flesh body and he sets him down and he begins to preach to him on the mountainside there, and he begins to go through the Beatitudes and talk about the different blessings and how that we would be supremely blessed even when we're persecuted. It doesn't seem like that's a blessing, but he said you're supremely blessed when you're persecuted. He said, when you're poor in spirit, you're supremely blessed. It doesn't seem like it, maybe. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And the different ones, the different sayings that he would tell us that we're blessed. Even in situations when it doesn't seem like we're blessed, if we could stop looking at things, many times we look at it through a microscope and we're so focused in on the direct events that are happening. But if we could take and zoom out of the situation a little bit and look at it as God looks at it, not from a momentary glance of something temporal, but he looks at things through eternity. As we looked at this morning, the testimony of the missionaries to Ecuador, how the Ecuadorian tribal natives had killed that man, but yet years later, one of those men was converted, the very man that killed him, and baptized his son after he'd been converted, baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, looking at it through eternity, he had a perfect plan. And it was maybe difficult to understand at the time. Maybe it was difficult to accept. How could this be of God? God said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, through the mouth of St. Paul, he said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. He didn't just say on Friday when you get your paycheck that that's working for your good. He didn't just say on the sunny days and when everything's going smooth in the family and everything's going smooth with your friendships and when everything's going smooth in the church that it's working for your good. He said all things, even the trials, it's working for your good. Even the persecution, it's working for your good. Peter said that our trials are more precious to us than gold. Brother Bram said, and I know, and I think it's 1961 or 1960, he said, why does God allow trials to come? He said, God takes trials and puts bits in its mouth and makes that trial do what he wants it to do, and it brings us into a closer fellowship with God, and that it's always working for our good. When little Sharon Rose was dying there, it didn't look like that was a merciful God allowing that to happen. But yet, Brother Bram said many times, even in these dark situations, when the Nazis would come and the Holocaust would take place and millions upon millions of Jews being killed, it was hard for people even professing Christianity. Many of them turned and walked away. They said, how could a merciful God stand and allow to see his children killed like that? But a prophet of God looks and says it was the tender hand of Jehovah. The gentle hand of Jehovah getting his people back into the homeland where they should have been already so that he could bless them. It didn't look merciful, but it was. Because we look many times in the natural. We look at the temporal and we look at things. If we would have looked at Nate Saint and the different men's there, the missionaries that were killed in Ecuador, we could have thought, why on earth would God allow that to take place? These men were trying to give their life for the gospel, to go and do what they could to missionary to these people that had never heard his word. And yet he allows them to just come in and just wipe them out and kill them. But God looked through eternity and said, yes, but he's got a son that I've got to get a hold of and I've got to deal with, and he's going to have to come maybe the hard way and it's going to be a strange way, but I've got a predestinated perfect plan and it's working for this family's good even if they don't realize it right now.
Amen.
Maybe things that have come up in your life, you wonder, why on earth, how could a merciful God allow this to happen to me? It's his tender hand getting you right where he needs you to be.
Amen.
A brother texts me the other day and was telling me to pray for a family situation and some things that were going on. I said, brother, it may be hard to understand right now, but it may just be the tender hand of Jehovah getting your children where they need to be so that he can deal with them. Sometimes he has to put us in a hospital bed and make us look up. Sometimes he has to strip us down completely, all of our thoughts and all of our ideas, and just rock our world and shake our very foundation so that we can stop looking at everything else and everybody else and go back and find out what was this about to begin with. Sometimes he has to stir our nest a little bit, and sometimes the stirring's not very, very fun. In fact, usually the stirring brings a little bit of tension, but Brother Bam said tension is good. He even said that God allows tension even to come into a church. And he said it's a good thing, because if we didn't have some tension, we'd just flop around like rag dolls. If you didn't have a little bit of tension to hold you up. So a little bit of tension is good sometimes. Sometimes a little bit of a stirring. You know, when those, Brother Bam talks about that great mother eagle, how she would come in and she would get those little eagles up on her wings and she would take them for a ride. And my, they could just feel those strong feathers of the mother eagle as she would soar through the heavens, and they would hold on with their beaks and with their claws, and they would be so comfortable there in the nest. And then one day she would begin to stir up that nest a little bit and tell them, look, you've babied around enough and you've been just a halfway Christian and a halfway message believer long enough. It's time to shake the nest a little bit and see if you can fly on your own. You've held on to the pastor's coattail. You've held on to the prophet's coattail. You've held on to your mommy and daddy's coattail. But now it's time to see if you can fly. You've let this one pat you and this one pamper you and this one pad the nest and this one put a little felt in and this one put a little feather in and everything's been nice and everybody's tried to treat you real good so you didn't get your little feelings hurt and run away from church. But now it's time to shake the nest and see if you can fly on your own. Amen. It's all right to get a start with somebody. I thank God we ought to start with somebody. Somebody, had, you know, things had taken place and my grandparents had went to some of Brother Branham's meetings and they came back and told the family about it and things. I'm thankful that we got to start somewhere, but we couldn't hold on to that for the rest of our life and say, look, my grandmommy was in one of Brother Branham's meetings. That was good. It was a start. But after a while, God had to shake our nest a little bit and say, that's good, but there's something for you in it too. Amen. It's good that your grandma's saved. It's good that your daddy and your mom is saved, but it's a personal experience. God don't have no grandchildren. It's good that this one's got the Holy Ghost. It's good that that one's got the Holy Ghost. It's good that they've been an influence in your life and an encouragement. But sometimes God shakes the nest a little bit and says, it's time for you to take off flying on your own. A merciful God would do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. His mercy endureth forever. He's merciful. He's kind, but his mercy and kindness isn't like a lot of human watered down compassion that, oh, just pets you on the head and says anything you want to do, that's all right. God's mercy goes beyond that and doesn't look at the temporal of, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt their feelings or I'm afraid they'll get upset or I'm afraid this will happen or that'll happen. God looks down through eternity and sees what the need is and what the circumstance is. And even if it shakes your world apart, if he knows it's good for you, he'll do whatever it takes to get you where it is he's trying to take you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh my. Jesus says again in Luke chapter 6 verse 36. He says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. We was at a restaurant with Brother Wes and his wife and daughter when they was in town, and we had taken them out to eat, I guess, the first night that they got in town and was having some fellowship with them. And we were sitting there and a family came in, a little girl that I grew up with and played with as a little boy, reminded me of some of these little kids out here running around teasing each other and things. And we, me and my wife went over and began to talk with her and her mother and have a little bit of fellowship. And as they were leaving, they came by the table because her little boy wanted to meet our children. And she just was just blown away and couldn't get over it. She kept looking at Philip and said, he looks so much like you. And she said, he looks just like his dad did when he was that age. And just kept going on about it. And I thought, that's right, because he's an attribute of me. And people can look at him and see, you know, Brother Furman, different ones that played with me about that age, they can look and see a little attribute of Nathan walking around. He looks like me. He kind of, you know, stands like me and different things. It's not very hard for anybody that knows me to recognize who his daddy is because he's an attribute of me. So God has attributes that he had in the very beginning that he wanted to express. He had an attribute of Father. He had an attribute of Savior. He had an attribute of Healer. And he wanted to express these attributes, but he had no way to perform these things because there was nobody to be saved. The angels didn't need saving. They were created perfect, and they were created to worship him, and they didn't need a redeemer. They didn't need a Savior. They just stood there and worshiped because that was what they were created for. And so he had an attribute that he had wanted to express as Father, but they were just a creation. They weren't his children. He had an attribute that he wanted to express of Redeemer, but he couldn't express it through them because they didn't need to be redeemed. He had an attribute of Healer, but he couldn't express it through them because they never got sick. Amen. And so one day he created man in his own image, in the likeness of God. He said, let's make man in our likeness. God speaking to himself out in eternity, the Logos, fellowshipping with himself. He spoke, the Spirit of God spoke to the Son of God, the Logos that he had created so that man could see him tangibly. And he said, let's make man in our image. And when he created man, he created him a spirit man. He created his soul. And he created that in the image of God, because the Bible says in St. John that God is a spirit, And that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Brother Bram said that when God first created man, he created him a spirit man because he was in the image of God. It wasn't that Adam, you know, to see the physical body of Jesus, Brother Bram said that Hoffman's head was the closest that it could look like. I don't believe that Adam looked just like Jesus, that he created him in his image that way. But he created him in his image, which was the image of the spirit man. He created him to be a spirit being. Then years later, Jesus, when he comes to the earth and he's born and laid in a manger there, Paul said he didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the nature of the seed of Abraham. And here the God who had created man in his image now creates himself in man's image. And he would walk in a flesh body that looked just like this. Had fingers and toes and could walk. But when he created man in his image, he created him a spirit man. And in that spirit, there were attributes of God that he placed down in that spirit. Now, if God's our Father, you know, I don't think Brother Hoover's going to be walking along down down in Louisville somewhere or out here in Salem when he's doing his work and going around knocking on doors and meeting with people, having lunch meetings and things like that. I don't think anybody's going to look at Brother Hoover and say, "Goodness gracious, anybody ever tell you you look just like Hoffman's head of Christ at 33? I mean, don't you see the resemblance? I can tell you were created in the image of God because, I mean, look at it, the beard and the hair and, you know, it just is so much. I doubt anybody's ever said that to him. Nobody's ever said it to me, I know. But I thought we were created in God's image. I thought we were created to have the attributes of God. We are. But not in the same way that people can tell that Philip is my son just by looking at him. A lot of people, you could look at him and you might think they was a good message believer, and then you begin to talk to him and all they can say is something evil about somebody else or somebody else's church or just running people down all the time, and they might look outwardly like a message believer and they might even profess to be a message believer, but very quickly you can tell by the spirit that's on the inside of them that their daddy may not be who they're professing their daddy to be. That doesn't mean that God can't get a hold of that person and change their spirit just like he did you and me. But that means Jesus said, by their fruits, you shall know them. Didn't say I had to look like Hoffman's head of Christ at 33 to be an attribute of him, but by our fruits, they would know us. And so when Brother Hoover gets around somebody and they see that he's got a forgiving spirit, when they see that he's merciful and kind and he likes to encourage people and he likes to try to talk about the Lord and things like that. They can look and they can see an attribute of who his daddy is. Now, I'm not talking about Mr. Hoover. Mr. Hoover was his daddy, but I'm talking about his father. They might be able to look at him. I don't know, I haven't seen a picture of your daddy, Brother Hoover, but they might be able to look at him and tell who his daddy was, but they can spend some time with him and tell who his father is. Oh my, I believe that should be our testimony this evening. I don't have to look like him in the natural so much. Hey man, I look like my dad. You look at my dad's wedding pictures and it's scary, at least for me. Because you can definitely tell who my daddy is. We was doing a plumbing job one time. I think it was a plumbing job at a little dry cleaners, and this little Chinese woman there, or Vietnamese or whatever she was taking our dry cleaning, and she said, "He your son?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, he cute." My dad said, I used to look just like that when I was his age. I said, "Dad, you never looked this good." But that was about 30 pounds ago and about 100 less gray hair. They can recognize who my daddy was. They can recognize who Philip's daddy is. That's good. I'm glad that we have that heritage. But I want people to be able to spend some time with me and recognize who my father is. Amen. Be ye merciful. Be ye therefore merciful as your father also is merciful.
So there's an attribute of God that is merciful. And Jesus tells us that we should have that attribute manifested in ourselves, that we should be merciful. Then he goes on, as we read it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, that we're blessed when we're merciful, because then we'll obtain mercy. It's just like casting your bread upon the water, the scripture said. It'll return to you after many days. You go do something good for somebody, we don't do it with the intent that, well, I'm going to do this because I know God's going to bless me. But what God doesn't turn a blind eye to things like that. Amen. I've seen in this church, and I'm proud of many of the people in our church, because I see when there's a need that rises up, there's many of you that'll come to me and ask me, how can we help with that need? Oh my, I recognize who your Father is when you begin to do that. Because God, when he sees something, he begins to work on both ends of the line too. And many times, maybe even if you don't realize it, that's God working through you. God working through you to be a help to somebody else in the body. What is it? He's merciful, and he's manifesting an attribute of himself through you because you're merciful. Amen. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. I just want to read a couple verses out of Jonah tonight. And usually, you know, when we talk about Jonah, we're talking about the belly of the whale, but we're going to fast forward a little bit past that tonight. And Jonah goes and he preaches his message of repentance. He didn't want to go in the first place. These people weren't his kind of people. They weren't of his nationality. They didn't believe his God or worship his God. And he really wished that God had sent somebody else to preach to him, but God sent him. He tried to run from it and tried to get away from it, but God wanted him to do it. And he goes and he preaches this message of repentance, and the whole city turns to God in sackcloth and ashes in repentance. And most preachers would have been just ecstatic that God could have used them in such a way, not to just, you know, one or two souls come to the altar these days, and we're excited about it, because Brother Bram said the gospel net's been seined over and over and over again, and we're so happy just to see one or two souls come. But here, Jonah has this entire city that turns to God through repentance, through his ministry. And in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, it says, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Can you imagine having a revival and the whole city turning to God? And my, most of us would have been shouting and dancing and praising God. And Jonah was exceedingly displeased and very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now he came with a message and was going to tell him, you better turn to God or God's going to wipe you out. And my, really deep inside, he probably wanted to see them wiped out, because, you know, they weren't Israelites, and they were a different race, and they were a different group, and they were a different religion, and he didn't think that God should have mercy extended to them. And he goes and he preaches his heart out, and the whole city turns, and he said, that's what I thought, Lord. You're slow to anger, and you're merciful, and you're forgiving, and you forgave them. And so God grows up this little gourd right above his head, and he sits there under the gourd, and he's so thankful for that shade. And he begins to get happy. And then God sends the sun, begins to beat down on that gourd and withers it away. And then he gets angry about that. And he says, Lord, I just wish I would die. Just let me die. And he had mercy for the gourd, even though it didn't do nothing to deserve life. It didn't do nothing. The only purpose it served was just to give him a little bit of shade for a while. And he got so worked up and so torn up over this gourd that withered away in the sun. He says, just let me die, Lord. It's just one thing after another. And God says, you can have mercy on a gourd, but this whole nation has turned to God and you don't want to have mercy on them. Mm-hmm. Brother Bram says in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, 1958, he said, mercy always calls before judgment. We must have mercy give to us first, and if we spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment. We bring it on ourselves. Now, Jonah just wanted God to come and judge these people, but he came and he preached a warning message. Brother Branham preaches the sermon, God always warns a man before he calls him to judgment. And he goes and he warns the people of what's going to take place if they don't repent. And God's mercy is extended to them. If they wouldn't have accepted it, it would have brought judgment. But because they accepted the mercy that was extended to them, it held off the judgments of God. But Brother Branham says, if we spurn mercy, then there's nothing left but judgment for us. He says in the Called Out in 1958, he says, aren't you happy today to be living to see the Son of Man revealing himself to his church in the day that the Son of Man is revealed? What does he do? Reveal himself in mercy first. Then the next time he reveals himself in judgment to condemn those who spurn him. Now it's time. He said, what does he reveal himself? In mercy, saving your soul, giving you life. His life, giving you joy instead of sadness, faith in the stead of fear, healing in the stead of sickness, revealing himself to you in his mercy, the very same way he did back there. And if he's doing that now, how far is the rapture away in judgment? How many understands what I'm talking about? He says, handwriting the revealing of the Lord Jesus. He says again, Jesus Christ the same, 1958, I call your attention. That was never done before a Gentile. It was forbidden. He's talking about the sign of the Son of Man. Why? This is your day. This is way back in 1958. He says, if he manifested, there's only three tribes of people. That's Ham, Shem, and Japheth's people. Jew, Gentile, and Samaritan, which is half Jew and Gentile. In that age, he caught both Jew and Samaritan. But this is the last day. And the Bible said that the Son of Man would reveal himself from heaven in the last day. He'd reveal to the church in mercy. And then his second revelation would be in judgment upon them who rejected him. We're in the last day. God's message has always been a message of mercy. In the days of Noah, he sent a message to get in the ark because there's a rain coming. He was extending mercy. And as Noah built away one board at a time, one nail at a time, and he would build and he would build. And God kept extending his mercy, extending it over and over and over again. They had years and years upon years to repent and come and get in the boat. God extended his mercy, but there came a day when mercy was spurned for the last time, and God said, that's it. They've rejected the message of mercy, and the message that was a message of mercy to eight souls that went in to the ark became a message of judgment to everybody else that rejected it. The message in Egypt was a message of mercy. Come out of bondage. Come out of Egypt. And all those that accepted it, it became a message of mercy. But to those that rejected it, they drowned at the bottom of the Red Sea. It became a message of judgment. Over and over and over, it's gone through century after century. Will the church go before the tribulation? 1958, he says, little children, many of them put their little hands up. God be merciful to them. Many of the old, the middle-aged, they put their hands up. The teenagers put their hands up. They're wanting mercy, God. And I'm so glad to know that the first revelation of Christ is mercy. The second revelation is judgment. Oh God, thank you for these who has taken mercy tonight. Mercy's road. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. He said the first revelation of Christ is mercy, that he would extend his mercy over and over and over. Brother Branham says in one place, he said, if I was God and I sent my word, he said, and people wouldn't accept it. He said, that'd be enough. That would be it. And yet many people still believe that he's God, even though he said that. But he said, if I was God, if I sent my word and they refused it, that would be it. But he said, God is merciful to us. And he sends his word and the people reject it. And he sends his prophets and the people reject that. And then he sends his ministers, his pastors, his missionaries, his evangelists, and they reject that. And he said, and then he sends his nine spiritual gifts, and he's merciful to us. He keeps extending mercy over and over and over and showing us more mercy and more mercy and more mercy. That's his first revelation. But there comes a time where that stops and judgment sets in. The second revelation of Christ, he said, is judgment. Adoption number one, 1960. He says, well, now many of these little pretty-faced mothers sitting here, some of them 60 or 70 years old, would say, well, what have I done, Brother Branham? You've raised your children. You've done what you were supposed to do. Maybe some old dad sitting here say, well, I've harrowed the fields. I've done this. I never preached. But you did just what God sent for you to do. There's a place for you. Speaking to an old doctor yesterday, one of my doctor friends, buddies, 80-something years old, and his sister-in-law is here at the church tonight, and she's been just a teeny, teeny bit worried about him. You know how we get sometimes about our loved ones. We get a teeny, teeny bit worried about them. We see that they're going this direction, that direction. He said his sister-in-law's here at the church tonight, and she's just a teeny, teeny bit worried about him. And I went to see him, and as soon as I began to talk to him, he brightened up, told me about a hunting trip he'd taken many years ago up into Colorado, the very same country I hunt at, just as brilliant and bright. And I said, doctor, how long you been practicing? He said, when you were nursing. Way down, I said, many a time, he said, I practiced taking my buggy. I put my saddlebags over my horse. I took the little satchel and I've walked. I said, yes, down along the creek banks, 2 o'clock in the morning with your flashlight, trying to find a house where a little child had a tummy ache or a mother in labor pains. He said, that's right. I wonder if Brother Branham wasn't just seeing a few of those things in vision, seeing this man with the flashlight trying to find an address for a little child with his tummy ache. He said, that's right. And I said, you know, doctor, I believe across this dividing line here between mortal and immortality, God has a place for good old doctors that served like that. Great tears come in his eyes and he started crying. He reached up his feeble hands and said, brother, I hope so. Across the land, Brother Branham says, God judges a man's soul, what he is. Then I give him this satisfying scripture, many times plowing through those dark, muddy fields at night, trying to help somebody. Maybe never get a penny for it, but it's all right. I said, Jesus said in the scripture, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that is true. Amen. This old doctor in his 80s, and his sister-in-law's, you know, she's a teeny bit worried about him. Maybe he didn't attend a church as regularly as she wanted him to. And maybe he didn't show some of the fruits that she really wanted him to. And maybe she had a picture in her mind of what he should be and what type of a Christian he should be and what type of a life he should live. And he wasn't living quite up to her standards of it. So she began to get just a teeny, teeny bit worried about him. And she sends the prophet of God by to talk to him. Maybe he can help him. Maybe he can slap him around a little bit and bring him up out of his spiritual stagnancy. And Brother Branham begins to talk to him. And he looks and he sees this man going along and looking with the flashlight at mailboxes and trying to find a little sick child at 2 a.m. with a little tummy ache. And maybe the parents didn't have money to even pay him. And he says, don't worry about it. It's all right. And the prophet looks at him and says, there's a special place in heaven for doctors like you. Amen. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What are you telling us, Brother Nathan? Are you telling us we can get there by works? Absolutely not. But I do know in the church age book, Brother Bram said there'll be some people that was there just because they was kind to the bride. I'll take his word for it. They can argue and fight over it all they want. I'll take his word for it. Amen. There will be people there that just because of their attitude to you on the job, just because of their attitude to you. Jesus said in the scripture, I've heard people argue about that and say, well, you know, that's just in the church age book and this and that and the other and try to complain about it. Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? In the Gospels when he said, any one of you that offers one of these little children just a drink of water, amen, said, I'll no wise forget it. Yeah. Just a drink of water. Amen. Mary let him borrow her womb for 9 months. And he gave her eternal life. Remember the sermon I preached a few months ago when Jesus borrows something. He borrowed Peter's boat for a few hours and he turned him into a fisher of men. He borrowed a lot of different things. Brother Bram said he didn't even have a house to come to. Didn't even have to have a grave to be buried in. Had to borrow a grave. But I'm sure Joseph of Arimathea will turn out all right because of his loan that he gave him. He couldn't work his way in. It's not on works. It's not, don't get me wrong, this isn't some Catholicism of penance and deeds and things like that. But God doesn't turn a blind eye to things. Amen. God sees you. He sees your heart. He looks at your soul. And when he saw these things that these different ones did down through the ages, a prophet of God could look and say, there'll be people that'll receive eternal life just because they was kind to you. Maybe when somebody else was shoving you around, they stood up for you. You say, is that scriptural, Brother Nathan? Yeah, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus that he came by night and he couldn't understand the new birth. He said, how can I enter into my mother's womb again? Jesus said, I can't even tell you earthly things. How can I tell you heavenly things? Right. And he just couldn't wrap his mind around that new birth. But Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said, there'll be those there that stood for the elect in a time of need, like Nicodemus and like Gamaliel. Remember when they went to take the body of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate, he said, would you give me his body? And he took him down, began to wash his body, and he put him in his own tomb. It was a new tomb that had been hewn out of the rock in a cave. And I know Brother Darrell and my brother and different ones have been there and seen it. There's nobody there. It's an empty tomb. All right. Amen. Muhammad, they've got a grave sitting there with the horse rider waiting. Oh, my, but we had a horse rider that came out of there 3 days later. Right. Amen. No, we don't have to stand there by his tomb and wait for him. He's not there anymore. It's an empty tomb. There's a lot of leaders and politicians and world leaders that they wait and they look and they seek and all these different things. But our leader rose and he's not there. It's an empty tomb. And Nicodemus helps Joseph of Arimathea in this time of need. He helps him take the body down, even though he was kind of a secret believer, yet he stood for the bride in a time of need. Then Brother Branham talks about Gamaliel. Remember Gamaliel when they were standing there and trying to try this. And the council's there, and Gamaliel stood up and he said, look, there was Judas, a man that took 100 people out into the wilderness, and they all died out there, some kind of cult. And there was this one and there was that one that they tried to have uprisings and different things. And he said, if this is of man, it's going to come to naught. So don't worry about it. It's not going to amount to anything. But he said, if this be of God, he said, do we want to really be found fighting against God? Oh, it was just the message people would have that much sense today. Gamaliel, he wasn't even Holy Ghost filled. He wasn't even there on the day of Pentecost. He was just kind of a secret believer. But he had enough sense to say, look, if it's of God, I don't want to be fighting against it. But yet we find churches fighting against one another and message believers fighting against one another and pastors fighting against one another. Hey, I may not agree with everything that goes on, but if it's of God, I don't want to put my hand to it. God leads different people to do different things, to reach different people. I told a brother the other day, I said, we've got about 5 local message churches where we're at. And I said, I thank God for every one of them. Because there's people at every one of those churches that you couldn't hardly beat them into going to one of the other churches. And God raised up these churches in this area so that the people could stand without an excuse. Brother Bram said, sometimes God winks at our ignorance. Says, all right, if you won't have it any other way, I'll do this for you. And he raises up different things. And now there's people that go to some of these other churches that they absolutely love it. Maybe some of you, you've tried it and you just didn't feel at home. So you found your way over here one way or another. There's people over there that they wouldn't feel at home here no matter what we tried to do. We could roll out a red carpet and blow trumpets and do whatever. They'd say, oh, they were too nice or they were too loud or they were too quiet or they were too mean or they were too humble or they were too proud. They'd find something. That's okay. God didn't call everybody to be here. Goodness, if God called everybody in the message, even just in this area, we wouldn't have room for them anyhow. So God called who was supposed to be here to be here. Because you could benefit from the type of ministry and the type of worship and things that come forth here. And he raised up other churches for people that wouldn't walk across Silver Street here to come and hear me or Brother Hoover or Brother Layton or Brother Arnie. Any of these brothers, they literally wouldn't walk across the street. And then we have people that drive from Owensboro and Madison and all over 45 minutes, an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes. And it humbles me to know that people would do that. But what is it? Because God's placed a desire in their heart to be here. Maybe there's places that are closer for them, but God placed a desire in their heart to be here. So if God places a desire in somebody else's heart to be somewhere else, don't get upset with them. I always tell people, if it's not God's will for somebody to be here, we don't want them to be here. Because first of all, they drive us crazy. And second of all, we drive them crazy. God will send who he wants to send. My dad was doing some work with a brother one time, you know, and sometimes it was feast or famine. Either they'd just be so busy they couldn't hardly catch up or so slow that they couldn't hardly keep up. But he said, the brother told my dad one day, this guy's backslid and following Joyce Meyer now, but he did have a good point on this. He said, Jerry, God will send us the jobs that he wants us to have. And he said, the ones that he doesn't send us, we wouldn't want to have them anyhow. I thought that's a pretty good outlook on life. God will send what he wants you to have. And all you're fighting and scratching and digging if to try to get something else, if God didn't want you to have it, you'd be better off just to leave it alone anyhow. Oh, my. Brother Bram says in Hear Ye Him 1960, he says, I don't want his justice. I don't want his law. I want his mercy. Mercy is what I plead. Oh, Lord, don't judge me by no law. I'll be condemned. I can't stand. Don't give me justice. I ought to go to hell because I'm a sinner. But Lord, give me your mercy, amen, your love, your grace. Amen. I want his mercy tonight. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those that just give one of these little, least of these little children a drink of water in my name. Because I'll remember it. I won't forget that. I won't let it pass by. That won't get you in the bride. I'll tell you that much right now. That won't get you in the bride. That won't get you in the city. But somebody that looks at you in an hour of need like Gamaliel did or like Nicodemus did and stands up for you on the job, maybe they don't even realize why they did it. They stand up for you at work or stand up for you at school and say, look, I may be a low-down hypocrite, drunk, whatever I am, but this person here, they haven't done nothing but treat everybody good and try to live the best that they know how, and you better leave them alone. God, you don't know what God might do to somebody like that. I believe there'll be a lot of people over there who will get there and say, how on earth did you make it? You wasn't nothing but a low-down skunk your whole life. Yeah, but you remember that time I took up for you? Yeah, I remember that. When I got up into that presence and I began to be judged and that light was standing there and I felt so polluted and so hypocritical and so filthy. And Jesus spoke out of that light and said there was a time, though, down on earth that he stood for me. You remember the story Danny Henry, Brother Bram tells about, or not Danny Henry, I believe it was David Greenfield is what he calls him, a missionary. And he said he was standing there and he had that dream. And he said, David Greenfield, did you ever lie on earth? He said, I didn't think I did, but in the presence of that light, I realized I told some little white lies. Did you ever steal anything on earth? He said, I never stole anything outright, but in the presence of that light, I realized there were some little shady deals that I did. And he said, but somebody spoke out of that light and said, but Father, when he was on earth, he stood for me. And now I'm going to stand for him. Amen. Maybe one of these guys that gets over there that you're going to be surprised to see when you get there, say, how on earth did you make it? Well, when he spoke out of that light, he said, on earth he stood for me. And I begin to scratch my head. And I begin to search. I begin to wonder. I never went to church. Never hardly read my Bible. Never professed to be a Christian. Never got baptized. And then there was something that flashed across the screen. And you remember that time when all those guys was calling you names and trying to pick a fight with you down at work because they said you was a holy roller, and I stood up and said any of them that tried to touch you would have to touch me first? God said when he stood for them, he stood for me, because they're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Brother Branham said that God would have killed Sarah when she fell there and laughed in the tent and then told a bold-faced lie to God, said, I never did laugh. See, Adam laughed too. He didn't fall behind the tent and laugh. He fell right out in front of God and laughed. But he didn't lie to God about it. Right. Sarah in the tent, she laughs, and that sign of the Son of Man discerns her heart. Melchizedek in the tent door. He says, why did Sarah laugh in the tent behind me? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yes, you did. Brother Branham said God would have killed her right then, but he couldn't touch her without hurting Abraham because she was part of him. He said when Eve fell into sin, he would have killed her right then, but she was a part of Adam. And he couldn't take her without hurting Adam. When the bride gets into trouble and something takes place, when you fall and you stumble and maybe the judgment of God would speak out in his wrath and condemn you and kill you right there, but the mercy of God holding above you on the mercy seat says, but Lord, Father, they're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. They're part of me. They pierced my rib, my side at Calvary, and my blood poured out for them, and they're part of me. That rib out of my side, just like Adam, I dispersed myself on the day of Pentecost, and I divided myself, and I sent myself back in the form of the Holy Spirit so that I could touch each one of them and dwell in each one of them. They're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. They're a part of me. You can't take them without taking me. Amen. Brother Branham said, you can no more die than God can die. What is it? Because you're a part of him to begin with. Brother Branham said that Adam was given a bride so that he could reproduce himself. And he said God had a bride in this age so that he could reproduce himself.
Amen.
Oh my. Look down through there and see the times that this one stood up for you and that one took up for you. And when somebody in some message church was running you down and calling you everything they could think of, somebody stand up and say, look, you can say what you want, but I've worked with him. I've stood with him. I've fellowshipped with him. I know him to be a true man or woman or son or daughter of God. God won't forget that.
Amen.
Brother Branham preached a sermon one time called The Disappointments at Judgment. But I'd like to preach a sermon sometime called A Surprise at the Gates of Heaven. There's going to be a lot of people that thinks they're going that's going to be disappointed. But there's going to be a lot of people we get over there and we're going to be shocked. How on earth did you make it?
Amen.
Amazing grace.
Amen.
How sweet the sound.
Amen.
Amen. Those are going to be a good, that's going to be a good thing to be shocked in that way. I don't want to get shocked at the judgment and say, Lord, I thought I did all this and now you're going to turn me away. I don't want that kind of a shock. But I'm looking forward to some shocks when we get over there. And maybe the teller down at Ace Hardware, the clerk down at your job, or somebody that you went to school with say, how on earth did you make it here? Well, you remember when you was talking in the store that day and your phone rang and you was telling somebody a quote on the phone to encourage them? Something sunk down on the inside of my heart. I didn't have a bit more idea what you was talking about than nothing, but I believed it. Oh my. You say, you mean God would let somebody come in on something like that? I believe somebody that hears one paragraph and believes everything that they heard has a greater chance than somebody that's heard all 1,200 tapes and questions this and questions that and doesn't live up to it and doesn't believe it. I'll give that person that heard one paragraph and said, I don't understand it. I don't know where he got it from, but I believe every word of it. I'll give them a chance. I believe God does too. Amen. I'd rather come in with their chance than some of these that have memorized it and question it or debate it or won't live it. I'd rather come in on that chance.
Amen.
My dad's grandfather down in the hills of Kentucky, he owned a farm and he sent my grandfather down to the meetings in Jeffersonville. They came back late that night and he was sitting on the front porch waiting for him when they got back, my grandfather and my grandmother. And he called my grandpa's name was Mitchell Bryant. And he said, well, Mitch, he said, what'd you hear? He began to tell him about the blind eyes coming open and different things that they saw. And he said, I believe every word of it. As far as I know, that man never heard a tape, never had the privilege of holding a book in his hand, never sat in a meeting, never saw a thing himself. But his son comes home and tells him what he saw. And he said, I believe every word of it. Amen. I believe I'll see him when I get over there.
Amen.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Are you going to get over there and say, oh, Lord, but I knew this guy. I knew what a skunk he was. You mean you're going to let him in? God's going to have mercy on who he's going to have mercy. And he's going to have compassion on who he's going to have compassion. And maybe there was a lot more that had a stronger will to get there and ran a lot harder to try to get there. But it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show thee my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. If the musicians would come tonight. You want to know how Brother Nathan got saved? You want to know how Brother Nathan got the Holy Ghost and how he stands here before you as a minister of the gospel and a pastor, believing the message and serving God? You want to know? Let me sum it up to you in about five words. But God, who is rich in mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. How did you get here? You say, oh, brother so-and-so witnessed to me, and this one in my family, they just kept driving me crazy about it, and finally I read about it, and then I came to an altar, and then I got filled, and then this and that. No, no, this is how you got here. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh my, how do we get where we're at? God, rich in mercy. Amen. So what did Jesus tell us? Be therefore merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Many times we get upset quick. Oh, I don't understand Brother so-and-so, why they do this and why they say that. And I don't understand Sister so-and-so. She just gets on my last nerve, and oh my, we're just ready to give up on them. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but I need all the mercy that I can get. I don't know about you, I need all the grace that I can get. So I want to extend all the mercy and all the grace that I can, because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. This is my testimony tonight. Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. When I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace to us tonight. It was God's mercy. Oh, it rewrote. Oh, it could have turned out different for us, but God's mercy, it rewrote. God's mercy, that's what rewrote my life. God's mercy, it rewrote my life. When I should have fallen, my soul, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. Amen. As they play that softly, let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your mercy tonight. We thank you for your grace that's extended to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have this blessed hope within us, Lord, that you look down through us. It wasn't because we willed it. It wasn't because we could outrun somebody else, but it was because of your mercy. Because God, rich in mercy, his great love, how he loved us. Even when I was unlovable, yet he looked down through time and his mercy shone down on me. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for your mercy tonight. Lord, I don't want your judgment. I want your mercy. I deserved your judgment, but you looked down and gave me mercy instead. Oh, Lord, help it never to become common to us, Lord, what mercy did. Help us never to let your grace become common. Help us never to make your grace a disgrace. But I thank you for your mercy. Lord, that you could look down and be merciful to us, Lord. And even sometimes when it didn't seem like it was mercy, yet it was you working through all things, working it together for our good. Even when it seemed like a trial, it was the tender hand of Jehovah. Even when it seemed like a battle, it was your mercy that you were extending to us to prevent us from something else or to mold us into something that you knew we needed to be. I thank you for your mercy tonight, Lord. Sometimes your mercy is shown and displayed through different ways. Sometimes it comes in different ways, but I thank you for mercy in any form you want to send it in, Lord. Brother Branham stood there, and years later he can look back his darkest trial when little Sharon Rose died. He said maybe if she would have grown up, she would have got into trouble, but God knew what he was doing. Oh, Lord, what a difficult thing it would have been, Lord, for him to go through that. But you brought him to a place where he could have enough confidence in you to recognize it was mercy. It didn't look like mercy at the time, maybe, Father, but it was your mercy. It was the tender hand of Jehovah. Many times, Lord, we've seen different ones that we pray for them. They get better. They give their heart to you, and then you take them on home. We think, Lord, why would you do that? Oh, I thank you for your mercy to them, Father, to get their attention before you took them so they could make things right with you. I thank you for being merciful like that. I thank you for your merciful kindness to us. Lord, many times, Lord, we were so stubborn and so slow to get things, but yet you had mercy, and you kept extending mercy over and over and over again to us. I thank you, Father, for your mercy. Lord, help us to extend mercy as well, Lord. Help us not to write anybody else out, Father. But Lord, help us to be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. Help us to express that attribute of you in our lives, Father. Help us to extend grace to others just as you extended your grace to us. Oh, Lord, help us to display your attributes so that others could see who our Father is. Lord, I thank you for being the type of a merciful God that, Lord, you would grant somebody eternal life. Lord, just for some act of kindness to your bride because you love us that much. Oh, Lord, I believe it'll be such a wonderful day when we get over there and we begin to see all the different faces, people that we come in contact with down through life's journey. Maybe we never thought we'd see them again. Maybe we handed them a book or a tape, or maybe they slipped into the back of a service one night and then we never saw them again. We wondered what happened, but your mercy was extended to them. Maybe on just that one little thing that they heard and they held to it and believed it, Father. Thank you for being that type of a merciful God. Lord, to extend your mercy. Even when we didn't deserve it sometimes, Lord, but yet you just kept extending mercy to us. Help us, Father, to be able to see that tonight and to have mercy for others. Lord, I thank you for your promises in the Word. Help them to become a reality to us, not just words on a page, but may they become life to us. May we live and manifest what we've heard and seen and read. May it become manifested in our lives. May we extend mercy to others, Lord, in a way that we would want to receive it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the skies, no more tears to dim our eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, let's stand and worship him tonight. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look up on his face, one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, I like this part.
Oh, there'll be no more sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. Won't be no sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day. Oh, aren't you looking forward to it? Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, that one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand, leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Amen. As they play that softly, maybe there's some of you that's worried. Maybe you got loved ones that passed on without ever fully just embracing the message the way that you wanted them to. I don't know why I'm talking so much about my grandparents tonight, but my grandfather on my mom's side, he was born a few years before Brother Branham. Mom and Dad would give him books, and he'd sit there. He chewed tobacco. He had a little spittoon. He'd have it in one hand and a message book in the other, and he'd say, that Billy Branham sure knew what he was talking about. A few months before he passed into eternity, he put that spittoon cup down, stopped dipping. I believe the last book he read was Beyond the Curtain of Time. I believe I'll see him over there. Amen. Don't let Satan rob you of your hope. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. We serve a mighty God. Nothing is impossible for him. Amen. I can't wait to get over there and greet the different ones that have gone on. Say, oh, I'm so glad you made it. So glad I get to spend eternity with you. Amen. You looking forward to it? Amen. Let's sing this verse again tonight together. Oh, there'll be no more sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. Won't be no sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, he's the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand, leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day. Oh, let's sing it to him again. We love you tonight, Father. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Lord, when I look upon your face, the one who saved me by your grace, and when you take me by the hand and lead me through that promised land. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed. Let's sing it as we go tonight. Oh, what a day I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Oh, I need more of you, dear Savior. That's the way it's got to be. Oh, I need more of you till there's no room left in me. All those ways hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Father, I need more of you in me. Lord, I need more, more of you. Fill me with nothing less. Lord, I need more of you. Give me your love, and the world can have the rest. I could never and your love. Oh, I need more of you. Father, I need more of you. I've got to have more of you in me. Lord, I need more, more of you, dear Savior. That's the way it's got to be. Lord, I need more of you till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. Father, I need more of you. Lord, I need more of you in me. Oh, I need more, so much more of you. Fill me with nothing less. Lord, I need more of you. Give me your love, and the world can have the rest. Lord, I could never get enough of your grace, your peace, your warmth, and your love. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Father, I need more of you in me. Lord, I need more of you. Lord, that's the way got to be. Lord, I need more of you till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more. Father, I need more of you. Lord, I've got to have more of you in me. I lay in bed and I begin to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull. Oh, I feel the pull. I feel
Spirit's moving me. Give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come. Oh, you changed my soul. Now
worship you tonight, Father. We love you, Lord. Abba God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Lord, you have cleansed. You made me whole. Oh, you touched my heart. You changed my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God. Oh, Papa God. Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed. Made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart. You changed my soul. Now I know I need you so. Papa God. Oh, Papa God. Touch my heart, you change my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve you? Of the pleasures I've known. Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? I could ever repay all I've taken from you. Oh, maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way. Soul's in your hand.
So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you were born for this valley, but you were born. Drive your spirit to the ground. Just mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Cause you were born for these valleys, but you were born for the sky. So don't let your trials, don't let them get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Just mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Child, you weren't born for these valleys. No, you were born for the sky. So don't Bless his holy name.